Please welcome Rosh Wright.
I think some of you in the room know that the first 8 years of my life, I was actually not even in England or anywhere that anybody really knows much about. I was born in Jamaica and lived in West Africa and Sri Lanka. And at age eight, my father died. We were living in Sri Lanka. And so my mother brought us back to London. She was able to get a house in North London, which was really great, and actually became the family home for the next 50 years. And she packed my younger brother, my older brother, and I off to boarding school, as you do, right? And so I went to this boarding school. I was very small for my age, still am. And I was round. I was like this little ball. I know it's hard to believe today, but that's how I was. And at boarding school, I wasn't particularly bright. I wasn't like, you know, A stream, top of the class. And I wasn't very good at sports. So all in all, I really wasn't very popular. And little girls can be very cruel. And we had these great long benches, a bit like Hogwarts, you know, where we ate our meals. And the older girls would be at one end all the way down to the little girls, us little 9-10-year-olds. And we had, I don't know, four or six of us little 9-10-year-olds there. And one time I got a really bad ear infection and burst my eardrum. So I was sent to the infirmary, and I didn't come back for about a week or 10 days. And so we're sitting there at lunch, and there's this silence around me, and I'm looking, and they're all looking at each other, and then they're sort of orchestrating, and they all go together, "Our peace is shattered now." Can you imagine what that does to the confidence of a 9 or 10-year-old? But anyway, back to this house that my mother bought. It backed onto these amazing playing fields. I mean, they seemed enormous to me at the time. Maybe they're not that big, really. But there were these playing fields that my brothers and I could go and wander around and play and everything. And summer was particularly great because they played cricket back there. And having come from Jamaica, West Africa, Sri Lanka, all those British colonies, I knew all about cricket, and I really liked the sport. And so we could go back there and watch the cricket games. And then as we got a bit older, they would invite us to go and help with the scoring. And then as I entered puberty, there were lots of really handsome young cricketers for me to have a crush on. And it was a really, really great thing. And what was also good was that my boarding school play cricket. It's quite unusual for women to play cricket over there, but some of the boarding schools do, and we did. And that was the one. Well, I was good at swimming because having been raised in the tropics, I'd been swimming pretty well since birth. But all the other sports, I was totally hopeless at. But I sort of wanted to be good at cricket because I really liked the sport. It's very genteel. It's very English. I know it's sort of similar to baseball, but it's a little bit different. We don't sit on bleachers and eat hot dogs and buckets of Coke and go, yeah, right? We sip our tea very genteelly and eat cucumber sandwiches and applaud gently. So I somehow, I don't know how, because I was not good at cricket, but I wanted to be, somehow I got signed up to go for the tryouts for the school team. Now, we would play other boarding schools. I mean, these are well-known boarding schools, you know, the sort of very elite boarding schools, and we would be playing them, so you had to be pretty darn good. And somehow I got called out. So there's all my peers, tall, lanky, athletic girls, you know, and there's this little ball out there. You know, could have been mistaken for the cricket ball. So I don't know if anybody in here understands cricket, but basically there are two batsmen out in the field at any given time, and the rest of that team, it's a total of 11, so the other 9 are back in the pavilion drinking their tea. And then on the other team is all out in the field, similar to baseball, in different positions, some of which have really peculiar names, like silly mid-on or silly mid-off. And I got put way out on the boundaries, right? Way, way out. Maybe they were trying to hide me. I don't know. Anyway, I was way, way out. And the bowler comes up. Have you seen them bowl? You know, it's really an art form. And it comes up and he bowls, and the bat person hits it, and it comes flying all the way out towards me, out in the boundary, way up high. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, there's no way. There's just no way I'm ever going to catch this thing. But it comes towards me, and I got it. And as a result of that, I got signed up for the next tryouts the following week, where I did abysmally. I would come up and do that bowl, and the ball would fall like 2 feet in front of me. I never caught another ball out in the field. When I went to bat, there's something called LBW, leg before wicket, and then you're out, and somehow my leg would get in front of the wicket and I'd be out. Just really hopeless, which is so sad because I really, really liked it. Meanwhile, back at home, you know, the cricket team would be out. Cricket's a funny game, actually. If you watch it ever on television, most people think it's really boring. I think it's really fascinating. But the international games can go on for days and days and days. So if England is playing India or Australia is playing Sri Lanka, it goes on for days and days and days. But obviously, at the club, they had to cut it short, and at our school, we had to cut it short. So anyway, I finished out my time at the boarding school, 9 years. I left when I was 18. Still no better at sports. And I said goodbye to all these, my peers. And I went my merry way. Well, fast forward quite a few years, probably like 40 years. And there was going to be a reunion of the school. I was by now living in California, but there was going to be a reunion of my age group in London at a restaurant. And I was at my mother's house, and somehow I miscalculated the time that the bus would take to get from my mother's to the restaurant. And I got there a little bit late, and everybody was already there. And these were all women, now my age, now in their late 50s, all with gray, very nicely coiffed hair, sort of tweeds, sensible shoes. And in I walked from California, bright colors, really cute little boots, makeup. And I walk in and the whole place just stopped. And said, you know, no longer am I the little ball. They've all put on weight. I've lost weight. And now I've got way more confidence. So I'm like just swaggering in. Hi, everybody. And somebody actually said to me, well, we knew that somebody was coming from California. We weren't expecting Baywatch. And anyway, so I'm there. And I see the girl who had been the ringleader of the Our Peace is Shattered Now. And she is married to an attorney living in Bermuda, so she's done all right for herself. And we were chatting, and this was before I knew that about karma, you know, if you do something not very nice, it's going to come back to you. So we're chatting away, and I said, do you remember, you know, right when we were really new, and I had to go off to the infirmary for an earache, and when I came back, you'd got everybody to say, our peace is shattered now. And she was so embarrassed, you know, she said, no, I don't, I'm so sorry. You know, has it left you psychologically scarred for life, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I think it has. So anyway, I've never been a team player in terms of playing sports, so that never improved. But I am now a little bit more athletic, I work out, so I think in the end, I'm an RN and I'm an actor, so I think in the end I did okay.